So how many green bracelets this morning? Once again, I want to see. How many green bracelets? I'm doing a little bit better. I love to see that on my wrist every morning, especially I found when I jump in the shower, I see that, I go, oh, I guess that stays on, it's rubber. And it reminds me to think through the series that we're in, 1 month to live. What would I do? How would I change the way that I think? How would I change my schedule today? What would I do differently if I knew I had just 1 month to live? And I can't help but think that most of us would stop for a moment and reconsider a lot of things. I've got to make the very best use of this day for the kingdom of God. I've got to walk with my Lord in a very special and powerful way today. And so we've been going through this book, 1 month to Live, how to live your life with a new intensity and a new purpose, a new direction, how you can take every single day and make it count for God. And today we're on the final principle in the four principles that he brings forward. And today we're going to talk about how to leave boldly. I think everyone here wants to leave a lasting impression on the people that are closest to you, perhaps friends, perhaps people in your church, in your family, whatever it may be. What are people going to be saying at your memorial service? Not only the eulogies that they may get up and say, but in the luncheon afterwards, or in the coming days, what kinds of things will they be saying about you? How will they remember you? What are the things in your life that will stand out and be important to people? How will they describe your life? What is your legacy going to be? Harold Kushner once said, "I am convinced that it is not the fear of death, of our lives ending, that haunts our sleep so much as the fear that as far as the world is concerned, we might as well never have lived." Is your life making a difference? Is your world a different place because you were here? What is your legacy? Father, this is really the question that we all ask in quiet moments when we think about our lives. And I pray this morning as we think about how we can leave boldly, how we can leave a legacy, what we can do today so that our legacy will be a legacy of faithfulness, of love, of commitment, of being a model of what it means to be the presence of Christ. Help us, Father, to consider that seriously, to think how we can leave our world boldly. Be with us now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is the world a better place because I was here? Are you working today to build a legacy that will last? Sometimes, and I think all of us, this happens to all of us, we get so caught up in the frantic pace of life that we forget that we are building our legacy. Moms, if you're raising kids, and I have been really reminded of this with Will Cooper, watching him, I'm reminded again of what it means, really, as I'm learning what it means to be a grandpa, I'm remembering what it was like to be a parent. And hopefully, I'm able to add some things because I've learned a couple of things along the way. But I've really been thinking seriously about that. And I'm thinking how frantic life is, how the pace of everyday life seems to increase and get worse as time goes on, actually busier. Moms, if you're raising kids, doesn't it sometimes seem as if you're just running in circles? You know what I mean? You clean and wash, but just a day later, everything's dirty again, you know? You make a meal for your kids, and within minutes after they're done eating, they're hungry again. You wash the floor after a mess is made, and within minutes after you're done, it's messy again. And you go through this process, it seems, day after day after day. And what you do seems to unravel and needs to be done again. It seems almost, well, like building sandcastles on the beach. You know, when I remember in the Dominican Republic, I watched as some kids built this intricate sandcastle. And it was within, minutes after they were finished. And they did a nice job, that the waves came in and washed it away. And instead of getting frustrated and angry about it, they were excited. They thought it was great. And they started building another one. And they were just going on and on doing that. And I wondered, what on earth is the sense of that? And I want you to know the reality, what the reality is. It may feel like every day, at the end of the day, everything you do here on earth just gets washed away like a sandcastle on the beach. But what's really happening is that as you build sandcastles, or as you feed the kids, as you clean the house, as you go to work and make money to pay the bills, whatever you do day by day, you are building a legacy for all eternity. Everything you do on this earth that gets washed away, gets built up in eternity, because you're building a lasting legacy. God has placed a deep longing within our hearts to live a life that matters, to make a lasting mark on this earth. And as we build our sandcastles every single day, we wonder, what kind of a legacy am I building? How will I be remembered? Will all this effort, will all this time, will all these tears, will all this laughter just be nothing more than a distant memory, or will it really be a legacy that will leave a mark on the world when I go to be with the Lord? On your outlines, there is a passage I'd like to take a look at right now. Or if you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and I'd like to read the 12th through the 14th verse. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Paul is saying to us that every day we live, I'm building a legacy. And every moment of every day, I get to choose what materials I'll build with. I can build with sand. I can build with temporary materials. Or I can build with eternal materials that will stand the test of, yes, even eternity. It's my choice. And if I'm going to build a legacy, there are only three materials that I can really build with and know they will last. There are only three that will weather the waves of life. The first material is convictions. My convictions. Convictions are those core values from God's word that never change. Convictions are eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever." Trends and styles, they come and go, but God's word never changes. Pop psychology is always changing, but God's word never changes. The best-selling book, the bestseller list on the New York Times is always changing, but God's word never changes. Because God's word is truth, the truth for today. It was the truth 1,000 years ago, but it will still be the truth 1,000 years from now. So much of what we live every single day is built on trivialities. I have a shirt that I really like. And I was wearing it the other day, and my daughter looked at me, and her eyes rolled up into her head. Dad, do I really have to sit with you? She said, that's straight from the 70s, Dad. I had no idea what she was talking about. Well, so did I, apparently. She said, "Dad, you can't wear that. Just think of what other people are thinking about that shirt." Well, I looked at the shirt. It wasn't dirty. Didn't have any holes in it. It still fit me. To me, that was a strange comment. And so we talked a little bit about how styles change, about how life seems to change so much. And it's fun because now with Cooper around, we can talk about that kind of stuff as well and bring that in. But I began to realize how fleeting our tastes are, how what our culture builds into us is good maybe for this hour, but an hour from now is probably outdated and behind us. Our convictions, however, come from the Word of God, which is eternal and lasts and stands the tests of time. My core values come from God's Word. And those core values never change. They're rock solid in a world that changes every hour, it seems. Those values never do change. But I have to live them out for them to be more than just simple beliefs, but become true convictions in my life. Look at Matthew 7, verse 26. I love the way the Message translates this verse. It says, "But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach." I love the way he puts that. It's so true. He's saying, don't just study the Bible. Make it real in the way you live. You don't really believe something unless it shapes how you live. Now, I have a book here that's very, very inspiring. It's written by a guy named Cliff Sheets. Cliff is a vegetarian and a very slim guy. The name of the book is called Lean Bodies, the Ultimate Diet Book. And in fact, it says here, the revolutionary new approach to losing body fat by increasing calories. This is the ultimate diet book. When I saw that, I had to pick it up. It's a book that I have read over and over again. In fact, I think I've got parts of it almost memorized. I've been excited and inspired by this book. But guess what? No matter how many times I read it, no matter how many times I ponder it, no matter how many times I promote it to people, it hasn't seemed to work all that well. And that tells me something very clear. There's got to be something wrong with the book. Right? If I read it, if I get excited about it, If I read it again, if I read it again, if I study it, you know, if I get into small groups and I talk with it about it to people, if I do this over and over and over and over again, it's got to work unless there's something wrong with it, right? Absolutely. And that's the way a lot of believers respond to the Word of God. You know, they go to Bible studies over and over again. They read the Word of God. They memorize it. They come to church week after week. They hear God's Word. But somehow it doesn't catch because it never seems to make a difference in their daily lives. They don't live it. And so it's not a real conviction. I mean, you can know the Bible from cover to cover, but if you don't really live it out, you don't really believe it. Someone once told me that a belief is something you hold on to, but a conviction is something that holds on to you. You see, convictions are core values from God's Word that make a difference in the way you live your life. Those values permeate our lives and become such a part of us that it becomes who we are. We live them out each and every day. That's what convictions are. And convictions are eternal. And if you're building a legacy, you begin by building those legacies into your life. If you're going to build a lasting legacy, you have to build convictions. And parents, if you're going to build a legacy into your kids, you've got to build those convictions into their lives. Deep convictions that they'll carry with them long after they're gone from your home. It's interesting, as a grandparent now, I watch my two kids. I wonder, are they living out the kinds of things that I've tried to teach them down through the years? If you're a parent, you still have the chance to continue to build those that legacy in them. Build those convictions so they're deep, so that when you're not there, when you become a grandparent, they live those convictions. They become a part of who they are. Build your life on your convictions, and you'll build a legacy that will last. Secondly, build a legacy on your character. On your character. God cares about my character, because when you die, you don't take anything with you except for your character, who you are. That you take to heaven with you. Romans 8:29 says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. You see, from the very beginning, God has always had a plan. And his plan is to make me more like Jesus Christ, his son. His plan is to put into my life the very character traits of his son, Jesus Christ. The great sculptor Michelangelo was reported to have once said, when he was asked, how did you sculpt the famous David? It was reported that he said, well, I just chip away everything that didn't look like David. It was simple as that. And that's what Jesus Christ does in your life. He chips away everything in your character that doesn't look like Jesus Christ. He's chipping away everything, all the character faults, the flaws that don't look like Jesus, because his plan is to make me more like Jesus. Now, there are tools that God uses to chip away at me. Tools that aren't always easy to put up with, but they're the tools that shape and mold my character. God uses problems. If you're a believer, every problem always has a purpose. Sometimes God allows little problems into your life, those little irritations that kind of rub off the rough edges. Other times there are huge problems. You know, the real sandpaper that smooths off the rough edges of your life. But he uses problems to mold and to shape you and to shape your attitudes and your values. Then there are, secondly, pressures. We learn patience under pressure. The most Christ-like people I've ever known were people who were under tremendous pressure. And pressure seems to always bring out the very best and the very worst in us. And then God uses people as a tool to chisel away the rough edges of my character. Every one of us have people in our lives that are hard to love. You know who I'm talking about. Every one of us have people in our lives that irritate us. They get under our skin, that rub us in the wrong way. And some of you have those people in your family. I've heard those people called heavenly sandpaper. That's exactly who they are. God uses them to rub off the rough edges of our lives. Some of you are sitting next to them right now. Don't look. But you know what I mean. I don't want you to have trouble here. Just wait until you get home. Wait until you're out to dinner today. Then you can look at them. Don't look at them now. But God uses these three tools, problems, pressures, and people, because God wants to build our character so that we can build a lasting legacy, so that we can make a mark on this earth and make a difference in the world. There's a third thing that's eternal and that lasts forever, and that's community. Community. God's word lasts forever. Godly convictions and godly character last forever, and God's people, the people of God, last forever. That's why it's so important to be in relationship with other believers, people who are going in the right direction, who don't have it all together, but they're going the right way. You remember the sisters of the Bible, Mary and Martha, the friends of Jesus? One night they invited Jesus over for dinner, and Martha was running around in a frenzy trying to make sure everything was perfect because the Son of God was coming to her house. That's, you know, you don't do that every day, right? Everything's got to be just right. But Mary just sat at Jesus' feet conversing with God's Son. And Martha was really ticked at Mary, okay? She was mad at her. And I think she was really mad at Jesus because Jesus wasn't setting Mary straight. He was just letting Mary sit there and listen. He wasn't looking out to meet her needs there. And so she comes to Jesus. And look what she says in Luke 10. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things, but there's need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part." Oh boy. Jesus just has this way of tenderheartedly driving the knife in and twisting it, doesn't he? You know? That had to hurt. You know, but Martha is thinking, look at all I'm doing. I'm working as hard as I can, and look what she's doing. She's just sitting there, looking at you and listening. And Lord, look what you're letting her do. You know, you're God's Son, so why don't you tell her what she needs to do? And Jesus kindly and firmly looks at Martha and tells her, "You're missing the point. You know, your priorities are all wrong, Martha. Mary is doing the thing that's important, that will last, the only thing that's eternal. You're making the Christian life too complicated. It's really pretty simple. It's a relationship with me and a relationship with others." That's what Jesus was saying. Sometimes we make it too complicated. We get so busy building into the lives of everyone else that we forget about ourselves. And God says to you today, don't feel guilty about taking care of yourself. Okay? Take time to meet your own needs. Don't feel guilty about spending time with me, Jesus says, and getting spiritually refreshed. And don't feel guilty about spending time with others in fellowship and growing together in the Lord. You need that so you can be the person God wants you to be. Too often you're building into the lives of everyone else and ignoring yourself, and no one is giving back to you to build you up. That's why it's so important for you to spend time with God and spend time with others, just fellowshipping. It's important to refresh your spiritual needs so you can, in turn, meet the needs of others. A sand sculptor was being interviewed on a news program recently, and he was building an intricate castle in a competition, and he was building it with his son. And the interviewer said to him, "Isn't it discouraging spending all this time building this beautiful piece of art, knowing that by tomorrow it will all be washed away by the tide?" And the sculptor said, "No, not all. I just love the process of building this with my son. It's not so much the finished product as it is having a great time with my son and drawing closer to him. That's the real payoff. That's what gives us the most joy. We don't really care that it's going to get knocked down." Is that how you pursue your life? I thought about that and thought, you know, that's the way life really is. The castle you live in, that house you live in, it's a sand castle. It's going to get knocked down one day. Don't get too attached to it. Enjoy it. It's great for now. But it's what goes on inside the castle that really matters. It's not the house that really matters. It's the home that you're building. It's your family. The house is just a sandcastle. It's going to get knocked down one day. So don't get too attached to it. It's like your car. It's like a sandcastle. Okay? Don't get too attached to it. It's going to get knocked down. It's going to wear out. Probably like mine already is. But don't get too attached to these things. Everything you own on this earth, God says, enjoy them. They're fine and good, but don't get attached to them because they're like sandcastles. They're all going to wash away. It's the relationships you build as you build the sandcastles that will last. Jesus tells us, your relationships with me, God's only son, and your relationships with others, that's what matters. And that's what's going to last when it's all said and done. Community. Today, after the second service, we're going to be gathering in community with the Hispanic church, and we're going to enjoy a meal. In Scripture, meal fellowship, that sharing bread, was a very powerful sign. When you shared a meal with someone, it wasn't a simple, "Well, we've got to get the soup down so I can make it through this afternoon." It was sharing life. When you sat down and you ate with someone, it was a sign of connection, a sign of community. And when we eat with each other, we often laugh, and I do too, because it is kind of funny. I mean, if there's one thing we do really well around here, it's eat, you know? We eat really well. But that just doesn't mean it's food that matters. Sharing of bread is theologically hugely important because you're sharing life and you're conversing, you're connecting. You're saying, "You matter to me." As you build your legacy, take time to live in the community and experience what it means to live in community with God's people. That's the legacy that you can leave behind. I'm reminded of a story of a businessman visiting a resort community. And he left his hotel early one morning to take a walk on the beach. And outside he came upon a stunning sight. There were countless starfish that had washed up on the beach during the night on a high tide. And they were still moving, they were still alive, clambering all over each other and trying to get back in the ocean. And he knew it wouldn't be long until the tropical sun would get hot enough to bake the poor creatures trapped there on the beach. He wished he could do something, but there were so many, he knew that he could make a little or no dent at all in the numbers of starfish. As he walked along the beach, he came across a little boy who was playing in the sand. And he noticed that this little boy had walked over and was looking at a starfish. And he picked up that starfish and was pondering what to do. The little boy took that starfish and threw it out into the water. And this man said, "You know, there are so many starfish. Throwing one or two back isn't going to make any difference at all." And the little boy said, "Yes, but it made a huge difference to that starfish." Build your legacy one starfish at a time. Connect with them. Pass on your convictions. Live in community with them. Take care of yourself by enjoying the presence of other people, by communing with God, by building yourself up. And leave a legacy that'll last for all eternity. That's how you lead boldly. That's how your life can count. That's how the day after you're long gone and you're in heaven with the Lord, people will stand and talk about you and say, "Boy, he was really special. He left a legacy that will last." Are you building your legacy today? Are you preparing to leave boldly? As you meet this week in your 1 month to live small group, I encourage you to think through, how can I live my life in such a way that the legacy I leave will matter? Let's pray. Father, in all of life, there is this one thing, that we might leave a legacy of Jesus Christ's own character. That the people that we interact with, that the values that we live by will reflect the very presence of Jesus Christ. That when we leave, people will look back on our life and say, "He or she made a real difference." I pray, Father, that beginning today, we will consider our own lives and how we can leave a legacy that will last. To that end, Lord, we commit ourselves and this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.